Amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. And what a blessing it is to be influenced by the church. And that's something that you can't get unless you come to church. Be influenced by the congregational singing, by just the spirit in this place, and then special music, and then a message from the Bible, the Word of God. It's just exactly how God designed it to be in this New Testament church age. So we're going to be looking at the book of Ecclesiastes tonight. If you have your Bibles, if you look there with me, the book of Ecclesiastes is a book right after Proverbs. It is a book that God used Solomon to write, but totally different set of circumstances when Solomon was used by God to pen and to collect the book of Proverbs and put it together. The book of Proverbs was put together and penned in Solomon's youth, when Solomon was walking with God, when he had the wisdom of God and the heart toward the Lord. Ecclesiastes is a book that was written by Solomon later on in years, after Solomon had fallen backslidden from God and fallen into the sins of the world. And it's a book that could be a little bit difficult to understand unless you understand how God has brought it to us. And so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Of course, we've been going through and looking at the divisions of the Bible, and this is part of the poetical division of the Bible. And it's not a history of Israel, but it gives us truths that can help guide us through life. And that's the book of Psalms. As you read those Psalms and get truths, it can help you guide you through life. Proverbs helps guide you through life. Even the book of Job is truth that help guide you through life. And the very same thing here with the book of Ecclesiastes. These are all the books of poetry. And so if you'll stand with me tonight, we're going to be reading actually chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And let's pray. Our Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you for privilege that you made available to us to be in church tonight. Thank you for each one that took advantage of that opportunity. And I pray tonight, God, that as we've already been ministered to just being in this place, that now we would stay focused on what you have for us and the teaching of this book of Ecclesiastes. Pray that you would anoint me once again to preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We can see in the life of Solomon the results of turning from God and living a life of sin. I believe that we have Solomon as an example for us to learn from. Now, God could have taken Solomon's life. When Solomon, as the king of Israel, in his youth, he had the wisdom. He desired the wisdom of God. He desired discernment from God. He wasn't looking for money and wealth and this world's popularity. He just wanted to be a servant. And with that kind of attitude in Solomon's youth, God empowered him, and Solomon was able to do great and mighty things as the king of Israel. He did such things as the whole world took notice. The whole world would come to Solomon's kingdom to find out what was the key. How could he build such a powerful nation and such a powerful kingdom? And so he was known worldwide. Israel and Solomon was known worldwide, and all the princes and the queens, kings came from all around to glean from Solomon's wisdom. That's when he wrote and put the book of Proverbs together. But we'll find as we study this tonight that Solomon in his older years, or later years, turned from God and he went just the opposite direction. Now God could have taken his life. Didn't have to allow him to continue to live outside of the will of God, but God chose to use that as an example for us and for this New Testament church age, to glean from this book of Ecclesiastes and the life of Solomon. When we turn from God, we will lose the godly wisdom that we have in making the right decisions when we are led by the Spirit of God. If you've not been coming out to Sunday morning Sunday school, you're missing out, especially in the adult classes. We've been teaching a series on living with the Holy Spirit and understanding what being filled by the Holy Spirit is all about, and allowing Him to influence our spirits and lead, guide, and direct us, and being able to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is all contained within us. We have that. We can have that kind of joy and peace and love in our hearts and our lives. We can have the fruit of the Spirit. We can enjoy that. But you have to be filled by the Spirit of God to enjoy that. If you're not living for God, if you're not in fellowship with God, you can't enjoy that. You'll actually sin against God by turning to the ways of the world. And you lose out on more than what you even realize. Solomon is that kind of example. He lost the godly wisdom and even purpose and understanding for life. And we find here, this tells us the mind of Solomon. It helps us to see this, and God wants us to see this. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanities of vanities. All. Everything in life is empty. It's all vanity. 2 Peter, in chapter 2, the life of Solomon is depicted in what we find in 2 Peter chapter 2, where the Bible teaches this truth. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Now, I was talking about the world, the flesh, and how that they convince us, and Satan uses that to get us to go into the world, and they promise us things, liberty. They promise us things that you will not get. For if after they have escaped the pollution of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that means they've been saved. They've been saved. They've experienced the goodness of God. They've experienced the fruit of the Spirit of God, the joy of life, love, and the peace. Once they've experienced that, they've had that, you can't lose the Holy Spirit of God. You can't lose salvation. Once they've experienced that through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein. It means you're drawn back into the world. You're drawn back into living a life of the flesh. You're overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. It's going to be worse than what it was before you got saved. No matter how bad it was before you got saved, many times tragedy and troubles lead us to find something better, and we seek the Lord, and we find the Lord, and we find His grace, His peace, His joy. What a blessing. If you turn from that, once experiencing that, and going back into living, trying to live a life of an unsaved individual, a life without God, understand this. The latter end will be worse. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness in this life. It would have been better for you not to know that than to know it and turn from it. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. That's Solomon. In a nutshell, that's the life of Solomon when he places and puts these thoughts together and under the influence of the Spirit of God. God wanted us to have this book of Ecclesiastes. Again, if you read it, you'll find it's a difficult book to understand unless you understand what's going on in the book. So the Ecclesiastes itself means an assembly. And we find here that the preacher is talking about Solomon. So Solomon as king is addressing an assembly on the topic of life. He's come to his latter end of life. He's experienced a lot in life. We have the testimonies, we have the scriptures to help us to see what Solomon accomplished when he was living for God. I mean, was able to do great and mighty things. We find what it does to Solomon when he turns away from that, life becomes empty. Three parts in the book of Ecclesiastes. We don't have time to go through all of it, but I'm going to highlight it tonight. But Solomon's declaration on life is the first two chapters. What he sees life as being. Now, you have to understand where he's at this time. And life outside of God is vanity. I mean, take it from someone, as we were going to study, that had it all and realized it's all empty. Outside of God, it's all empty. Solomon's declaration of life. Chapters 3 to chapter 10, the basis of the book of Ecclesiastes is Solomon's discussion on life. And you'll find in these chapters, it's going to be more like the book of Proverbs. There's a lot of prophetical sayings, a lot of proverbs in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapters 3 to chapter 10. And then Solomon's decision on life is bringing it to a conclusion is the last two chapters, in chapter 11 and chapter 12. So that's a breakdown, if you will, of the book of Ecclesiastes. In his youth, his humility before God, he was able to accomplish great things. But his old age, he's a troubled soul. What turned him around? I mean, what got him back into a worldly life, an ungodly life? If you look at 1 Kings, the Bible tells us what happens to Solomon. In 1 Kings, in chapter 11, Satan can use a lot of different things to draw a Christian back into the world. What did he use mainly in Solomon's life? In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4, the Bible says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods." Now, in verses 1 and 2, it talks about how Solomon married many strange women, and of those took wives of those that God said not to take wives from, and Solomon did this. So Solomon turned against the counsel of God. Now he's got all these wives, and he allows his wives to turn away his heart from other gods, heart after other gods, thinking there's something there for him to receive from other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. It will not. If you're seeking other gods, your heart cannot be perfect with the Lord because he's a jealous God. As was the heart of David his father, it wasn't like David's. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moab, and the hill as that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, and the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense, and sacrificed unto their gods. Now, I wish I had not known that about Solomon. But yet God has chosen to write it down for us so we can understand the difference between Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes. We can understand what happened to Solomon and learn from that so that we do not make the same mistakes. Yeah. So his declaration of life is found there in chapter 1 and 2, but it's highlighted in the very beginning of Solomon's writings when he said it's all empty, it's all vanity. This is a man that had everything. Do you think money will fulfill your life? He had power. He had popularity. He had prosperity. He had prestige. He had pleasures. And all these things are hollow without God. It's all empty. It's all vanity. Solomon had it in his youth, but he was blinded to it. And he started seeking something more than God. Christians, if you're not careful, you're going to buy into that there's more than what you have. If you have to give up God it's not worth it. If you have to turn away from what God says to do, and Solomon had to do that. Solomon knew that he was not to take wives of certain nations, and he took those wives anyway. And we find that he then allowed those wives, as God knew it would, to blind him to certain things. And each one of them had something that they wanted to offer Solomon concerning their beliefs, concerning their God, concerning what they have out of life. They did not know the Lord. They did not have the Spirit of God. They could enjoy the different other gods and their beliefs and their lifestyle temporarily in this life. And Solomon bought into it. He started seeking something more than his God. I guarantee you, if you've not already experienced it, you're going to experience it. The devil is going to try to get you to think that you're missing out. Teenagers, I guarantee that's a temptation that's going to come your way, is if I stay in church and do what the youth pastor and the preacher says to do, and if I just continue to live this Christian life, I'm going to miss out on so much that the world has to offer. You got to see that as a temptation. You got to see that as a Satan, a strategy that Satan uses, and he's in his wiles. He's very wily. And he's able to deceive, and he can't tell the truth, and he's going to try to tempt us in every different area. We have this example of Solomon. You can't have more money than Solomon had. You can't have more of anything that this life has to offer than what Solomon had. And yet, he bought into this thought, there's something more than God. Something more than God. When we follow God, when we focus on Him and His plan, it's not empty. Can I tell you, we're all going to go through different valleys. It's part of life. We're all going to fight certain battles. We all have burdens to bear. Everyone's burdens are going to be a little bit different. Everyone's battles are going to be a little bit different. And but all of us will face the very same temptations. All of us will face the very same things that Satan, we're not ignorant of his devices. He's going to try to get us away from God. Through a trial, you're more vulnerable than any other time to be tempted. But there is nothing more than God. But if you buy into that, then you're going to be taken away from God. And you're going to lose what you don't realize that you have. Solomon looks back and he realizes what he had in his youth. And he sees what he has now. And he says, it's all vanity. I don't have the pleasure in any of it that I used to have. Life, purpose for life, everything. He was still the king of Israel, had all, but now it's all vanity. It's all empty. John chapter 10. This is Solomon. This is the difference of Solomon in his youth and now Solomon in his old age. Jesus wanted his apostles and his disciples to understand something here. I love this passage of scripture in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He's going to find what he needs. He's going to be able to graze. He's going to be able to take in. He's going to find peace. And he's going to be able to find the things that I know that he needs. The thief cometh not, but for to steal whatever God wants you to have, and to kill, and to destroy. Mark it down. Outside of God, that's exactly what Satan is going to try to do. And that I am to come that they might have life. Now, look at that. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God says, I've come to give you life. A life worth living. A life that has meaning and purpose. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. The Christian life is a life that if you focus on God and you realize that God is enough. I don't need some other God. I don't need some other person's religion. I don't need what the world has to offer. If I have God, then God is enough. As I go through my trials and I go through my temptations and I go through the different valleys of life, God is enough. He will sustain you. He'll get you through that. And actually, when you get through it, if you have kept the faith, then you will have a better life coming out the other end. We've seen that in the life of Job and what a blessing it was. In everything that happened to Job, he would not believe the devil. He would not allow the devil to get him to curse God and say, well, life's not worth living. Job didn't do that. And Job's latter end was so much better than what it was when he went into the trial. Yeah. God is enough. You're going through a trial, you got to keep telling yourself, God is enough. When you're going through trials and you're starting to get tempted, can I tell you something Satan will try to tempt you with? He'll say, I'll give you a 10% increase in your income. What can you do with 10%? You know what that is? Tithe. Tithe is me showing God's ownership of my life. I tithe because God says to tithe. I tithe because it keeps me in fellowship with God, doing what God says to do. And the devil says, what can you do if you had 10% more income right now? What kind of pleasures could you have? What kind of entertainment could you have in your life? Could you buy a new car? Could you buy a bigger house? Could you have this? And can I tell you, those thoughts will come. It's not worth losing a walk with God. I tithe because I want a fellowship with God. I tithe to show myself. God already knows. But God is worth more to me than any amount of money. Amen. My relationship with God is not for sale. The temptations in our lives will come. The temptations of, you know, it looks like that on all that I'm watching on television and everything is sex motivated. If you haven't already noticed that on television, if you're watching anything in primetime television, that's what motivates the society that we live in. And they're wanting to try to convince you that you're missing out if you're not enjoying the lifestyle that the world is living. But in order to live that lifestyle, you have to give up on God. You cannot have God in the world. You cannot have the blessings and fellowship with God and living in sin. You can't do it. Don't be taken in by this. There's something more than God. No. I praise the Lord for life and praise the Lord for the different things that we can find that will bring joy. But if you have to give up God to have it, it's not worth it. I guarantee you, and I'll tell you right now. Solomon come to the place with everything he had. He still had it all, but it's all empty. Without God, once I know what a life with God is, everything else is empty. Yeah. His discussions on life is chapter 3 down to chapter 10. Chapter 3, I use this at most all the funeral services that I do because it does. It puts things in perspective. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die. And he goes down, he talks about all the different times, but the understanding this is that there's a time to be born. God determines that. And there's a time to die, and God determines that. Amen. And what we do in between is what we'll give an account for. Time, well, it just passes us by. To think that I've been pastoring this church for going on 33 years. I don't like to think about it because it makes me feel old. to see some of those that I was there and congratulated mom and dad on the birth of their children now up here playing the pianos and singing and doing the different things, marrying others that I seen come into this world as members of this church. It's just unreal. And I realize it. Now they're having kids, and this generation will pass off. There'll be another generation, and time stops for no one. But God is key in all. Staying focused on God throughout time is the key. The thing that we'll all look back on when this world life is over is our focus on God. What did I do with the opportunities that God provided me? Solomon discusses a lot of that about time. Talks about friendships. I love chapter 4. In his time, he understood the importance of friendships. Chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they are considered not that they do evil." He says, when you have an opportunity to hear from God, take advantage of it. He's realizing he failed to do that. He's realizing some of the things that he failed to do, having friendships that would strengthen his walk with God. And he developed friendships that took him away from God. Yeah. Chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay." He learned that. Again, we find that most of these chapters here are more like the book of Proverbs. It brings to us these very powerful principles that we can help govern our lives by. Yeah. And then lastly here, Solomon's conclusion on life. Last two chapters, but I love the last two verses of chapter 12. This brings it all together. It starts out, it's everything's empty. Life is all empty. Outside of God, and he's realizing that. And then he says, at the end of it, he says this, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. If I could go back and do it all over again, this is what I would have done. Fear God, keep his commandments." This is a whole duty. This is what you're going to give an account for. This is what's most important. Fear, reverence God. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Jesus taught, look there with me in Luke chapter 12, and we're going to close here. Luke in chapter 12. If life is going to be meaningful, you're going to continue to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, we must focus on God. We don't need to have the world's things to have a meaningful existence. You don't have to be wealthy to have a meaningful existence like the world would try to make you think. You don't have to be on the bandwagon with the world. You don't have to have the support of the world. What's most important is you have God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, and he said unto them, "Take heed and beware, because this is how Satan's going to come at you. Beware of covetousness." The world is designed to make you think that's what you want. If you watch any television, all every commercial is designed to get you to want what they want to sell you. Satan knows your human nature. He knows your weaknesses. He knows a sin that so easily besets each and every one of us because we have yielded to it at some point. And when you yield to that sin and you continue to go back to that sin, Satan knows what it is. You've just revealed it to him. And he will use that against you for as long as he can. Take heed. Be aware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. It's all about having God. I do want to read a verse that's very familiar to you. I'm just wanting to get you to understand this. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be a steadfast, unmovable. Don't let Satan tell you and make you think there's something more than God. No, you be steadfast in your faith. You be unmovable in your beliefs. Always abounding. Always looking to serve God, always looking to accomplish what God has you here to accomplish. That will make your life meaningful. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Book of Ecclesiastes. The example of Solomon and where he was when he was walking in fellowship with God. And where he ended up when he thought that there was more than God in this world. There is nothing more than God. Make sure that we have God. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. When you study the life of Solomon, the person of Solomon, especially in the youth, there's not a more powerful example of how Satan can turn a life around. And there's not a more powerful example of what it will do to your view of life. Don't get to the place where life is not worth living, where it's all empty. Stay focused on God's will and his purpose for you in this life. Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you for this book of Ecclesiastes. And I pray that as we have a little bit better insight, understanding of it, it will be even a more powerful book for us to read. Pray that you would take what is preached tonight, apply it to our hearts. If there's a decision that needs to be made, I pray they'd be made tonight. In Jesus' name.